Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The case involving our main church is now at the Court of Appeals, having argued the case on September 9. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, this, Holly, is one of our many church cases. It's Calvary Chapel of Bangor in Maine. And the pastor there is Ken Graves. And on the 9th of September, we argued this case, and we prepared for it at the Court of Appeals. And we're waiting on a decision from the court. This is another case that could easily be a candidate for a full review at the United States Supreme Court. But this case began when we filed it earlier this year with the governor, Janet Mills, banning all worship. That also included worship even in your parking lot. No worship in person, no worship in your parking lot. Calvary Chapel, like many churches around the country and certainly in Maine, shut down because of all of the hype over the millions of people that were going to die. And of course, those particular numbers turned out to not be accurate. They were based upon flawed models that came from Bill Gates and some of his organizations. But at any rate, they decided as time went on to begin opening. And the history of this for Pastor Ken Graves really illustrates why you cannot have a cookie-cutter, one-size-fits-all template for all churches, Holly. Mm-hmm. Because this church cannot just flip off the lights and shut the doors and go to a podcast.
Which a church shouldn't, really, if it's contributing to the community like a church is supposed to.
Well, this church was founded by Pastor Ken Graves. Pastor Graves was someone who was raised in a dysfunctional family background because he had an abusive alcoholic dad who left him and his mother, and he was raised without a father. And Ken realized the problems with alcohol abuse. He saw it firsthand, what it did to his family, to his dad, and certainly to his mom, and he grew up fatherless. So when he was in his teens, Ken wanted to ultimately, he felt a call to go into the ministry. So he dropped out of high school. In his teenager years, I think he was age 15, dropped out of school. And he then contacted Teen Challenge because he had read a book by David Wilkerson, The Cross and the Switchblade, and the amazing ministry that David Wilkerson had in New York City, sharing the gospel with the gangs and the drug addicts and the drug pushers. And he wanted to be able to help people. And so he went to Teen Challenge. He was not an addict. He wasn't taking drugs. He wanted to go there and be mentored. And an older person there made an exception to the rule and brought this young man under his wing, had him go ahead and finish his high school degree. And that's how he ultimately was mentored. At an early age, in his early 20s, he founded this church, Calvary Chapel of Bangor, Maine. He's the only pastor that's been there for 35 years. So he's been there at the time of the birth of these children, at their weddings, and at the birth of those children. And so he's been there throughout the entire generation, multiple generations.
And if you've ever heard him preach and speak, you know there's anointing upon his life.
Powerful.
And I love it that he has a special holster on the side, that he keeps a special Bible
in
there.
His Bible, yeah.
His sword of the spirit right there.
He has it right there. It's a special made one that he has for his Bible that he carries with him everywhere he goes.
But what's so unconstitutional here, Matt, is that, you know, the governor was allowing marijuana dispensaries, liquor stores, big box centers, warehouse clubs, and all those places that she considered essential, allowing them to go on as business as usual, but closing the churches down.
Yeah, and then
tying
that discriminatory treatment into this specific situation, The church has an amazing ministry. Some of that ministry includes a substance abuse ministry, where they have two homes on site on the church property for 24 women and 24 men. It's a year-long substance abuse program. For the first 6 months, they tell them when to get up, when to go to bed. They regulate everything. For the second 6 months, they have a little bit more freedom, but it is a very structured program. They go to work and so forth. but they have all-day teaching on Wednesday. They have Bible study and praise and worship. What makes this ministry work is the Bible. They have a year-long from Genesis to Revelation Bible study. So no matter when you come in the program, by the time you exit 1 year later, you will have covered the entire Bible, Holly.
Oh,
I mean, the Bible is central to this.
Right.
Now, in Maine, as in all these others, churches can have non-religious services in the building while religious services are restricted. So you can feed people, you can house them. So he's housing them, he's feeding them. You can even provide them secular counseling, like unemployment, job searching, and so forth, or maybe in this case, substance abuse. But these orders come in, and the orders say, no worship. You can't meet for worship.
So the minute you open the Bible,
he's violating the order. So Pastor Ken has to make a decision. I can't cut the heart of the gospel out of the actual substance abuse program and have no worship, no Bible study, no fellowship. Because that's what makes it work.
Right. Jesus gives hope.
Yeah, and yet these orders just have a template across the board. On the other hand, so what he's doing is he says, you know what, I can't stop meeting with them. So we're going to close the church for everybody else, but we're going to continue to have the church open for these 48 men and women in the drug substance abuse program. So they do. And so on Sunday, they broadcast online. Well, the people at home who can't come to church because the no worship orders, they're watching online, and they see their brothers and sisters there that are in the substance abuse program. And they call the pastor, Pastor Ken, I would really love to come and fellowship. I miss the fellowship. Will the, and this is sad. It makes you bring tears to your face. Mm. Will the church be locked if I come there?
Wow.
And Pastor Ken says, no, we're not going to lock the church on you. Mm. The door's going to be open. So he didn't like go out and say, look, everyone, we're opening the doors. If the people
they wanted to be there.
Wanted to be there.
They came on their own.
And what do you do as a pastor? Pastor, when I miss the fellowship, I need the fellowship. Are you going to have the doors locked? Can I get in on Sunday or other times? He says, no, I'm not going to lock it. So they start coming. They start coming. And so that's how he started worship again. And he said, you know what? A line has to be drawn in the sand. Governor Mills doesn't have authority over the church. She's not the authority over the church. Caesar doesn't control the church.
And, you know, she was been acting so Nazi-like. I mean, she was going to say, well, if you want to apply to be open, you have to apply. And if you're approved, you have to display a badge on the building.
Yeah, at some point in the future, she said, yeah, I'll throw a few crumbs out there. We'll have 10 people. You can have 10 people. Now, we're talking about 10 people with the pastor and his wife and the rest of the congregation. Mm. Maybe a person to sing. And somebody to do the sound, I don't know.
And where she gets that number, we don't know.
Where do you get the number? 10 people. So she said, yeah, at some point we'll allow you to have 10, but you have to apply, get approved, and then the approved places have to put a badge on the outside of the building so that when we go by and we see these people there parked in the car, we're going to, oh, that's an approved one. What does that sound like?
Nazi
Germany, yeah, where they
had to wear badges.
Had to wear the badge indicating that they were Jew.
Yeah. Which was
detrimental. Now, that was for them to be boycotted.
Right. Detrimental to them.
Here, it's like you have to wear a badge in order to say that the state has approved you.
And the state is in control of you.
And the state controls you. And the state has given its okay. Now, that sounds like the former Soviet Union and communist countries that say, we'll allow this particular church to open, but only if it's not going to be contrary to our communist ideology, if it's supportive of us.
Whereas
otherwise,
we have the Constitution. We have the First Amendment that says the state has no right to tell the church how it can and when worship.
And that's what the Supreme Court said in 1947
right.
in the Everson versus Board of Education case. It said, 1947, that's still good law, that the First Amendment Establishment Clause means that neither the state nor the federal government can force someone to stay away from church against his will.
But the church should be influencing the state, whereas what you see with this church, helping people with substance abuse that need help, is exactly what they're doing.
It's exactly what they're doing. And so this church is operating. It's open. They're taking all precautions, of course. They're not reckless. In fact, it's offensive to think that some government bureaucrat is more concerned about these people, the flock of the pastors, the shepherds, than these pastors like Ken Graves, who's been there at the birth, the wedding, and the birth of another generation. They care for their people. This is family, friends. Pray for this church. Ken Graves, Calvary Chapel of Bangor, Maine. The case is going through the appeal process. Pray for all of our cases at Liberty Counsel. We are privileged to represent pastors and churches all over America. For more information, visit lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.